Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to be doing a series, God willing, called The Dream. What we're looking at is the fact that God raises us above our circumstances. Amen? That's the best you can do? Okay. Thought you had gone to sleep on me already. Today we're going to be talking about training the dreamer, and we're going to be taking the history of Joseph. Joseph was a very exciting personality, and his story is found in Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50. If you want to look in on that. The whole life of Joseph fills large quantities of the Bible because Joseph listened to God. Joseph followed God's leading in his life. You'll notice in the genealogy that there will be a name of this person that gave birth to this person who gave birth to this person who gave birth to this person. It just goes on down that they lived and they gave birth to some kids and died. And then all of a sudden it explodes into someone like Abraham or Joseph, and just goes on and on and on. Why is that? Are you thinking? Why is that? You don't know? We're not allowed to talk in church, right? Why is that? Huh? Yeah, he followed God's plan. Is that what you want for your life? Do you want the Word of God to just explode in that area where you live? For that all of a sudden, the things of God start to happen all around you. And much is being written about the work of God that is being done in and through your life. And this is what has happened with Joseph. And God has gone through history and picked out people who perfectly fit a certain situation. And it is all recorded. They are a perfect example of certain things. When you study in medicine or psychology, psychiatry, sociology, you find these special case histories, where someone fits a particular malady or situation perfectly, and they will sort of canonize that little story of that particular person's life, and they will use them. And whenever you talk about Joey the mechanical boy, then all psychiatrists know that we're talking about a certain type of schizophrenia, catatonic schizophrenia, or something of that nature. And so you just say, Joey the mechanical boy. Everyone immediately knows what you're talking about when you say Joseph. And everybody knows who you're talking about, because Joseph is a person that we read about. He was one of those heroes of my life. As my Sunday school teacher would read and tell me the story about Joseph and how he lived, he became a hero in my life, guiding me and helping me to make decisions, because he made good ones. Turn in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And let's read this passage of Scripture, and it is talking to you. It is talking to you personally. God wants you to know exactly how He feels about you. For I know the plans I have for you. Do you believe that? Five of you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
You're getting the hang of this. I know the plans I have for you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, now that means He knows what those plans are. Have you seen blueprints?
No?
Never seen a blueprint? Have you seen a print of a house laid out, the floor plan of a house laid out? Those are the plans, right? What are they for? to guide you in building a house. You don't want all of your carpenters and plumbers and electricians and all those people to come out there and start building a different house. One says, I think it ought to go this way, and so he lays the plumbing out over here. And the electrician says, no, it's going to go out like this, and he lays it out that way. That would not be a good house, would it? And they pour the foundation back here. God knows his plan for you. Do you know God's plan for you? Sometimes I hear someone saying, sometimes, I understand that. I bought an RV thinking I knew God's plan for my life. It's sitting in parked in a storage place because I didn't know the whole plan. I know the plans I have for you. Now, we know part of the plan. We know that he has plans that are specific as it relates to Christianity. But individually, God has an awesome plan for you specifically. And it's going to require certain events in your life. Some of them you will like. Some of them you will like. The rest of it doesn't need to be said. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Now we're talking in a general sense. His plan is to prosper you. He wants you to be blessed physically, financially, spiritually. He wants you to be blessed socially. He wants you to be popular. He wants you to be successful. Why? Because he wants to use you in a mighty way. Now, I've heard, and I don't know how you feel about the prosperity message. I like it and I don't like it. There's parts of it I think are awesome. There are parts of it I don't think are so good. The parts of it that I think are awesome are the elements that say God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. That part I think is good. But the part I don't think is good is when we get down to the fact of mine. And I want to hoard it. Sometimes the prosperity message becomes more like the Dead Sea, to where that the prosperity of God flows in, but it doesn't flow out. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? Now, and that wasn't even my sermon. And not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, before we get started, let's ask God to speak to us as individuals. Let's ask God to speak to our heart and to help us to realize that element of our life called the dream. There's a dream. There's a vision. There's a goal. There's something burning inside your heart. Every one of you have it. Something that sparks every now and then. There's something inside of you that wants to succeed. You want to do something important. You want to do something dynamic. You don't want to do a half-hearted job. There's something inside of you that is crying out to come to the surface that God has planted inside of you. And I want you to join me in asking God to speak to your heart and help you to know that dream. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we ask you to speak to every heart of every person and help them to rise up inside of that dream. Help them to feel that dream. Help us to grow in our dream. And if someone doesn't know what that dream is, if it has died somehow, it has been crushed somehow, raise that dream anew. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but, and I don't think it's because of my bad preaching either. And I want to say that up front before I even talk about this. I don't think it's my fault, okay? 95% of everything you hear in a sermon, you forget within 24 hours. And that's not my fault. I study really hard. But it's just us. We're like a sieve sometimes. It just sort of leaks out of us where that it's gone. And what God has laid on my heart is to, as much as I possibly can, and the process as my responsibilities start to increase, and as a pastor, I realize that this is the honeymoon period, and that you guys just didn't call, and you didn't write, and you didn't contact me and give me any new assignments because you said, oh, he's new, we can't scare him off now yet, and so you were really kind, but I know that the duties are going to start to increase. And as they do, I want to be able to continue this if I possibly can, and that is to, in addition to the sermon, I want to provide you with some material that I can email you. And I want to provide two aspects to your training and study and exposure to God. And one is the sermon itself. The sermon itself is going to be mostly dealing with how. Very, very infrequently are we exposed to how. Very often we are told that we are supposed to live a godly, holy, pure life, not to gossip, not to backbite, not to strive, not to cause divisions, not to be jealous or envious. And we think, I'll get right on that. We all know what. I don't think I've ever had a husband and wife come in and me ask them, well, did you know you're supposed to be doing this? And them duck their head and say, yeah. They know what. Didn't you know you're supposed to bring flowers to your wife? Yeah. Well, why didn't you do it? I don't know. I hear that all the time. I don't know. Well, why didn't you do it? I don't know. Why aren't you living a better Christian life? I don't know. I want to, but I don't know why I don't. Did you ever read that in Romans chapter 7? I don't understand myself, the Bible says, as it draws out the life of Paul. Those things I want to do. Thank you. There's some that are getting the hang of this. Those things I don't want to do, I... Shame on you! And the reason is because we don't know how. Well, you just can't be in counseling and be involved in telling people what without telling them how. They want to know how. They don't want to walk in and then walk out again with the same information they had when they came in, do they? They're expecting change. They're expecting healing. They're expecting their lives to become better. I just had a call yesterday from a young man that God has drastically changed his life. 2 years sober. Praise God. Because he knows how. Now, Joseph was a damaged young man. Now, he lived a very incredible life, extremely successful in the way he lived his life. But he was extremely damaged, and he made a major error in the beginning of his life. As a young man, he made one of those young mistakes. One of those things that you do that you promise yourself you'll never, ever, ever do again. He told, he ratted on, he tattled, he gave a bad report, the Bible says, about 10 older brothers. Now that's dumb. That was beyond just saying, well, now that was an error. That was a killer. He shouldn't have done that. And I'm sure he was sorry. But it set the pattern for his life. The Bible says they couldn't say one kind word to him. And then, one night, the dream came. All of those mean, nasty, no good for nothing older brothers were represented in a dream as bowing down before his sheaf or his stalk of grain. Now, what does that do to a young man's heart that has been physically, verbally, and socially abused? That's pretty exciting news. I can see it now. My big brothers are going to worship me. It was so exciting that he actually went and told his bigger brothers. And they weren't quite as excited about it as he was. And so he went back the next night and dreamed another dream. This time, the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to him. Meaning that mom and dad would also bow down. And he didn't learn the first time, slow learner, and he went and told everybody that one and got bawled out by his dad. What is that dream? God was taking an abused, damaged, hurt, torn young man and saying, I'm going to raise you up above your environment. Is he just talking to Joseph? No, this is a case history. This is God picking out special people that he wants to use to help you and I pattern our lives after those principles. That's why he handpicked these people and put them in his word, was because he wants us to glean from them the principles that are in this life of this young man. And he is saying, it doesn't matter that you've been abused as a child. It doesn't matter that your past has all kinds of circumstances that have happened inside of your heart to tear you to pieces. I'm going to lift you above your background. Amen. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? That is a lot more exciting than you're letting on that it is. This is what God has been doing in your heart. God has been speaking to you and has been giving you a dream. He has been saying to you, I am going to use you in a mighty way. He's been talking to your heart. He's been telling you things. He's been dealing with your life and been bringing you to a place of realization that it doesn't matter what happened to you in your past. It is not going to set the course of your life. I'm going to raise you above those things that you experienced. Now, some of you may have had an awesome life. You may not have any of these things and may not know anything about what I'm talking about here. You may feel like, well, my life has been great. And we will take some other people in this series and we will look at them as well. But there are those of you today who were damaged. You were hurt. You were torn. You were beaten under. And it has set a stamp on your heart and your life for a long time. It has caused you to face so many issues in your life that you have found yourself inadequate in so many places, and it feels like it's going to be for the rest of your life. And that's the way it seemed to Joseph, because he was a younger brother. And all of the wealth, all the notoriety, all of the inheritance was going to go to all those other guys. He was going to get almost nothing. And when his dad died, who loved him very much and made matters even worse by giving him an awesome, beautiful coat saying, I love Joseph more than all of you, and made his life even more miserable. When dad died, his life was over. He had that to look forward to. That may be what you have to look forward to. That may be the way you see your future. And what God is saying in the dream that He's placed in your heart, I'm going to raise you above your past. That's God. He can do things like that. So, one day, Joseph's dad sent him to go bring some food to his older brothers. And he told him that they were going to be in Shechem, and I don't know where Shechem is, but that's where he went, and he was looking for his brothers and couldn't find them. And so some guy found him out there wandering around and said, no, they've actually gone on to Dothan. I don't know where Dothan is either. But he went to Dothan. And there they were. Boy, were they glad to see him. They couldn't wait to kill him. Here comes the dreamer. People are going to love it when they find out that you think that you're going to be used in a mighty way by God. They're going to be so excited. And as he came up, they grabbed him. And I think they were planning on just killing him right there on the spot, but there was one brother, Reuben, that just didn't think that was a good idea, and he was talking to the rest of them and saying, let's not kill him, let's just throw him here in a pit and let him starve to death. That'd be so much more humane. Because Reuben had the plan of coming back later and getting him out of that pit and taking him home to his dad. Now, I want you to move into the mind of God right here, right now. Where does God want Joseph to go from here? Egypt. That's God's plan. Got it? God wants Joseph to go to Egypt. Joseph wants to stay alive, for one thing. Don't blame him for that. Joseph wants to go home. His brothers want him dead. God wants him to go to Egypt alive. Now, why did Joseph's dad send him with food to go see his brothers so he could go to Egypt? Does that make sense to you? He didn't make that decision. Are you with me on this? The dad did not make the decision. This was something that God spoke into his heart, and he sent him. And then he caused a person to be down there and say, no, they're over in Dothan. That's how come they were standing there at the point in time when he intersected with this other stranger's life, was so that he could go to Egypt. And God wanted the brothers to hate him. I don't like people hating me. I don't like people saying bad things about me. I don't like the way they treated me. I don't like the way my parents did. I don't like the way my brothers and sisters did. I don't like the way my boss did. I don't like the way my school teacher treats me. I don't like the way things are going in my life. You should. Why? Because all of the chain of events that took place in Joseph's life was heading him to Egypt. Right? Amen? This is heading him in the direction of the plan of God for his life, the fulfillment of the dream that he saw in the middle of the night. And you don't know that. As your life transpires, as things start happening, as certain circumstances work their way into your life, as you get planted by God in a family you didn't like, if you got planted by God in a school you hated, as you got planted by God around people that you couldn't stand. Why did those things happen to me? Now, I'm not talking to all of you. And I'm not talking to any of you as it relates to all of these things that I've just mentioned, probably. But I am talking to some of you. Some of you were in circumstances that were really, really horrible, and the chain of events in your current life are now heading in a direction that still don't look good. Why am I in this pit? because God wanted Joseph to be detained long enough because he was sending a caravan by that was going to Egypt. Now, what do you think made them come by that particular place at that particular time? Huh? God. Do we think that? I can't believe you sent a caravan by and now I'm sold into slavery and going to Egypt. What is your problem? Right? I don't understand, right? I don't understand why I'm in this pit. I don't understand why I'm being sold into slavery. I don't understand why I'm in this caravan. Because of the dream. What I want you to do is in regards to your past life, is to take 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just jot that down. The Bible says in regards to your past, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Do you buy that? Transformation. The old has left, the new has come. And then for being in the pit, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, are you with me? All things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Do you believe that? That helps us cooperate with God now, doesn't it? I don't know why. Okay, that's true. Joseph didn't know why. You don't know why. Why did these things happen to me? Why am I where I am? Why did I take that stupid job? Why did I head out in that particular career? Why did I marry you? Who are these children and why are they calling me dad? Right? How did I get into this mess? The dream. God has a mighty plan for your life. Now, you know the Bible. You know how it is. If David goes and gets Bathsheba, we hear about it, don't we? If he kills off her husband, we hear about it, don't we? It doesn't hide anything. All of God's heroes, they get exposed. Good, bad, doesn't matter. If Joseph had said one bad word, we would have heard about it. If he even thought something not good, we would have heard about it, wouldn't we? He is going with the flow of the plan of God, isn't he? That's what God wants us to do. And the reason why we sometimes don't is because we just can't believe that there's a dream. We just can't believe that there's a plan. We just can't believe that it's all working together for good. And when we read Romans 8:28 at those appropriate moments where we're just about to open up our mouths and say something really stupid to God, we should quote Romans 8:28 to ourselves, shouldn't we? Just about the time we say, well, if my mom and my dad hadn't done the things they did to me, I wouldn't be like this. I'm Irish, okay? We would read 2 Corinthians 5:17 and realize that those things are passed away. New has come into our hearts and our lives, and we've been transformed by the power of God, and we are no longer being held under those beggarly elements of life. Amen? So, Joseph takes a trip to Egypt, and ends up at Potiphar's house. And you know what he did? He went with the flow of the plan. He was working his tail off. He was doing everything that needed to be done, and to the point to where that Potiphar just finally said, hey, this guy's got it under control. I'm going golfing. And he just leaves it all up to Joseph, and Joseph is running the entire house. But there is Satan in the house. We don't even know her name. We just know it's Potiphar's wife. Now, what's that all about? Don't sell your future for a bowl of soup. Amen. I don't even care if it is Campbell's Chunky. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it to sell out your future for those things. What's the Bible talking about? Hebrews 12, 16, 17. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inherited rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessings with tears. That's terrible, isn't it? A bowl of soup. He sold out his inheritance. Now that's stupid. But would we do it?
Yeah.
We would, wouldn't we? Just in a moment of weakness, in a moment when things are just not clear to us, we will trade. What's the Bible saying? Don't do it. You say, okay, get right on that. What did Jesus say? Without me, you can do how much? Zero, nada. How much? So don't make up your mind. I'm just not going to be that stupid. Yes, you will. You just did. You just made a promise to God that you cannot keep. Now, that's not smart, is it? Is it? What are you, Catholic? Is it? Okay. I just want to get that straight. I might have been in the wrong church. This is my first time. It's time for us to realize that there are trades we make. Right? There are trades we make for the things that are not worth it and end up without those things that are so dynamic, so beyond your imagination, so great in God that you can't even think about it. It isn't going to enter into our minds how awesome. Joseph has this teeny little glimpse, doesn't he? He just barely sees the plan of God for his life. It's going to be a lot bigger, isn't it? So Joseph resists Potiphar's wife and flees and leaves his coat behind because he will not sleep with her. And so he has done the thing that God wanted him to do. Isn't that awesome? And God throws him in prison. Well, great. I lived the life. I resisted Potiphar's wife. I honored you. I told her that I wasn't going to sin against you. And what do you do? Dump me in prison. That's fantastic. Is that what we hear? That's what we'd hear if we were there. If I were there, that's what you would hear. But instead, he is flowing with a dream. He's setting us that perfect example of God gave me a dream. Now, I don't know how prison fits into this, but it fits into this. Well, it happens to be the prison where the Pharaoh throws his people he doesn't like and doesn't actually kill. So if they're not dead, he throws them in here. Now, how did that work out? God. It's an easy answer, isn't it? What's going on in your life? You're serving God. You're doing what he's asking you to do. You're dedicating. You're reading your Bible. You're actually having devotions for the first time in your life. And you lose your job. Thanks a lot. Right? What's going on? God got you in prison. Why? Because there's going to be two guys that are going to show up in that prison and they have direct contact with Pharaoh. Do you see the plan? That's the way our lives are going right here, right now. Your life is going like this right here, right now. God is lining you up. He is doing all kinds of things. They don't look good all the time. Some things you cannot appreciate, but this is the way your life's going. God is working one miracle after another in your life. Isn't he? Good job. So, Two guys have a dream. They're in prison. A cupbearer and a baker. How am I doing? Okay, she's my timekeeper. When she turns purple, it's over. You know what it's like to be a new pastor, don't you? It's kind of like the substitute teacher. You know, I heard about how that all the other pastors always let you out at 15 minutes so that you can get to the restaurant before the Methodists. I'm not buying it. And Joseph interprets their dreams. One of the guys promises that when he gets there that he will tell Pharaoh about this guy who interpreted his dream, forgot all about it. The other guy got killed, so he couldn't tell Pharaoh. And so 2 years later, while Joseph is still in prison doing his best to serve God, Pharaoh has a dream and sees 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he is in turmoil. No one can interpret his dream. And all of a sudden, this cupbearer, this lame brain, who can't remember one favor to just at least tell Pharaoh that there's a guy down there that's been unjustly treated, remembers 2 years later that, oh, man, I'm sorry, I forgot. There was a guy down there that interpreted my dream, and he asked me just one favor for interpreting my dream, and that was to remember him, and I totally forgot. I am so sorry. He can interpret your dream. So they bring him in. Joseph is there standing before Pharaoh and telling him, and Pharaoh tells him his dream, and Joseph interprets it. And you know the story. He puts Joseph in charge, second in command to himself. Now, is that different than the dream Joseph had? Quite a bit. This is a little bit more exciting. It's not just your brothers and mom and dad are honoring you. This is second in command over the nation of Egypt. Do you see how God works? Are you willing? Are you willing to believe that the dream that God has put in your heart is going to be a whole lot bigger than what God has shown you so far? Are you willing to believe? Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't benefit or profit them because they didn't mix faith with that which they heard. That's the difference. The just shall live by faith. Amen? And so Joseph is over all of Egypt, and in comes his brothers. Right on schedule. Does God know timing? He is perfect in his timing. And Joseph is living the dream. Now I'm asking you to spend some time on this story. I'm asking you to look at this biblical history and see this man's life and see where you're going. Now, here's why God wants you to be holy and pure and godly in your heart. This is why the works of the flesh are spoken against. Here's where we're getting ready to see why. God is going to use you in a mighty way, but he wants you to commit your life to him and let him heal you of spiritual diseases. And here's why. These 11 brothers come in and they're on their knees, scared to death. Here's Joseph that they threw in prison. They know what their future looks like, and it's not good. He is over Egypt, and they had the foresight to throw him in prison, into a pit. In Joseph's hands are the major fathers of the nation of Israel. God is going to build a nation out of these guys. And Joseph has their future in His hands, and He's not mad. He forgives. And they live. The nation of Israel was in Joseph's hands. And he found them a place to live and prospered them. Why should I not gossip? Why should I not backbite? Why should I not steal? Why should I not lie? Why should I not commit adultery? Why should I not commit fornication? Why should I not do these things that are in the works of the flesh? Why? Because when the dream comes true, power is in my hands. Position is in my hands. People's lives are in my hands. And unless God flows through my life, they get me instead of God. They don't need us. They need God. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Amen? That's what we want. And that's what we need to dedicate our lives to. Without Him, we can do nothing. We can't cure ourselves of these spiritual diseases. And I don't care how hard you work at this, it's not going to go without the power of Christ working in you, crowding out those things. If you're in a dark room, how are you going to get rid of the darkness? Flip on the switch. The light drives out the darkness. Amen? The more we open up our hearts to the power and presence of God, the more it flushes out those things that hurt people. Amen. And that is where we as a congregation are going to bring the power of Christ to at least 6,000 people here in DuQuoin. Amen. The power of God is going to flow through your life. God is going to use you in a mighty way as you lay out your life before Him and yield to His dream. God is going to raise you above your circumstances. And God is going to heal the lives of hurting people out there that are hurting right now. It's not for our greatness. It's because they're suffering right here, right now. And the only reason why their lives are not being touched is because we're not ready yet. And God is asking us, get ready. Because a mighty, massive move of the Holy Spirit is being poured out in these last days on all flesh. In the last days, yep, there's going to be a great falling away. And a lot of ministers want to spend all their time on that. But that's not what God asked us to concentrate on here. He said to us, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every person. Doesn't make any difference what people are falling away from. It just matters what God's called us to go preach the good news. And the good news isn't the great falling away. The good news is the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I will pour out of my Spirit in these last days on all flesh. Amen? And I want to be involved in that, don't you? I think that the reason why God made me park my RV and come to DuQuoin, because He wants to do that here. Don't you? Because He didn't want me to miss out on what He was going to do with you. And He knew I'd be jealous and upset and frustrated about the fact you got to do it and I didn't. And so He said, okay, if you want to be a part of what I'm going to do there, then you're going to have to park your RV. And I said, okay. And I'm here. Let's do it. Amen. Amen. Now I'd like to ask the elders and their wives to come. I'd like to ask the worship team to also come. We're just going to ask you to, first of all, I want to spend just a second here in presenting the eldership team to you. I know you know them really well, but I present them to you in this light. They have laid down their lives for this church. They have prayed, they have sacrificed, they have hurt, they have gone through massive, massive assignments. And God has just used them in a mighty way to help this church to continue to grow and be blessed. I just want you to just spend some time and just let them know how much you appreciate all of the sacrifices that they have made. Now, would you come and just lay out those things that are blocking the dream in your life? If you don't know what your dream is, would you come and let them pray with you that God would reveal or help you to rediscover your dream? Just get up and come. Just let's all stand. This dream is what runs your life. There are things that are hurting you and holding you back. There's damage that's going on in your life. There's suffering. There's all sorts of things that are happening to you, and you need prayer. Would you come forward now? Just get out of your seat and come and let us pray for you. God is interested in you and what you're going through, but you have to take that step. Just step out of where you are and come forward. I know this is a little bit scary. I know sometimes it feels a little embarrassing, but we know what you're going through. We know how you're suffering. We are not here because we're superior to you. We're not angels. We understand. We feel. We have gone through and are going through all kinds of things. Just step out of where you are and come forward. I'd like to ask the rest of you to just bow your heads and close your eyes and just pray for those around you. God lays it on your heart to go pray with someone because you know they're going through difficult times.